The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm really excited to have you all as on and back to the show, but I'm even more excited for our guests today. They are the co-founders of Sunrise Capital. I have David and Julia. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are y'all?
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much for joining. And I'm going to give you a chance here in a moment because I do appreciate the diversity you guys bring to our show, but I don't want to butcher your last name. So I'm going to make sure you get a chance to say those. I didn't want to disrespect you guys with that. But the before we get started and kind of go into the meat of the topics and talking about some of the maybe the struggles you've had to educate our audience, would love to know how you got started in real estate, where you're from, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Let me begin. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. So my real name is Vyacheslav Davidenko. Originally, I'm from Russia. I moved to the US 5.5 years ago and discovered that almost no one could pronounce my first name. That is why I just shortened my last name and became David. I'm investing in real estate for more than 20 years. All my life, I'm an entrepreneur in high tech, IT, education, consulting. 8 years I've spent being in wealth management and managing almost $500 million for my wealthy private clients. And for the last 5 years, I'm investing in multifamily. I began my career as a multifamily investor, investing as a passive investor just to build relationships, get knowledge and skills. Then I became general partner myself. As of today, we are in 27 multifamily properties, almost 5,000 units together, and 9 of them as a general partners. Thank you, Julia.
I'm also from Russia, from Moscow, and that's actually where I met David over 20 years ago. So we've known each other for decades already. And I moved to the States, to New York City specifically, to attend a business school. I went to NYU MBA program, attended NYU MBA, majored in finance, and then spent many, many years working in finance, specifically various hedge funds, investing in distressed debt, corporate distressed debt, and investment banks doing restructuring, debt restructuring work, which was fascinating. But I wanted to be on my own. So several years ago, I decided to explore other possibilities for my future career and stumbled upon real estate. First, it was single family. So I started doing short-term rentals, Airbnb, specifically in Pennsylvania. And but I wanted to do bigger projects and more exciting projects, larger projects, more complex projects. And I started talking to people about that and reconnected with David, who already started doing multifamily. And I decided that it's something that I want to do as well, join a coaching program. And now David and I, we are united under Sunrise Capital brand, and we are pursuing multifamily opportunities in Texas. So we have Fort Worth, Dallas, and Houston properties, focusing on newer properties 2000 and later. In our portfolio, we have older vintage, but going forward, we're going to pursue newer properties, better areas, and deal size we target today is $40 to $100 million.
Man, that's fantastic. And I say it on every show, and I truly mean it, but I love hearing everyone's background and experience and what they bring to the table, because it's always unique, whether you start in real estate or not, and just the perspective you get to bring in. And I love hearing those kind of diverse backgrounds. As we were talking a little bit before the show, and why we brought you guys on is really to focus on and help educate myself and our audience on maybe things that have gone wrong in your real estate career. I know y'all are successful and doing a lot of great things, but I'm sure there've been some bumps and bruises along the way that can help educate our audience on kind of real world examples of either what not to do, or if they find themselves in a similar situation, what they could do to get out of it.
David?
Yes, okay. Yeah, let me begin. First of all, you should pay more attention to the property location and be very careful while making your due diligence. Let's say one of our properties, we were told by the broker that, guys, location is fine. And our property management company was fine with location as well. Anyway, as soon as we closed that deal, we have found that crime was really higher than anticipated, and crime around the property. We just didn't pay enough attention to the way how crime could change your property performance. As a result, we just needed to have 24/7 security at the property in order to make our tenants feeling better, in order to make our on-site staff feeling better. But anyway, in result, property never performed as anticipated. Yes, we were able to increase net operating income. We were able to retenant this property. We were able to make it performing better, and now we are marketing it for sale. But in order to manage these type of properties that are located not in the best areas, you should be really experienced. You should be comfortable while working with that tenant's profile. You need to understand how fine are you and your property management company while managing them. Or my another deal as a general partner. During due diligence, we have found that we could have some issues with the roof leaks, with the foundation. And that is why we invited for having second opinion one more team in order to check our property, to make deeper investigation of all the potential issues. And again, for 1 year, we were not able to make distributions to our investors because all of our cash flow, we had no choice but to spend it for, let's say, replace the roof or spend more money for fixing foundation issues. Guys, as soon as you are buying property, please invite real professionals in order to make your due diligence, because it could be so costly that it kills all of your returns. It kills your cash flow. You could become unable to make any distributions to your passive investors at all. Be real and be conservative. Don't fall in love with your property because it just looks so great. No, you should invite professionals. You should use professionals.
And I would imagine use professionals and adhere to what they say, because what they're going to tell you is honestly going to be the truth, and they would know most likely better than all of us.
So often you just, let's say, don't trust them because you love this property, you want this deal, but you need listen to them and trust them.
Listen to experts, trust your underwriting, trust your numbers. Don't fall in love with the property. I love that. I think that's a very valuable lesson I think we can all learn.
And Julie, I think that your experience with your single family houses, it's absolutely relevant. You could share it as well, what has happened with the roof, what has happened with the flooding, all this stuff. These are the same issues that we have in multifamily as well.
Yeah, definitely. So what Slava is mentioning is I had water damage to my single family house and had a rather large insurance claim for a single family. So what I've learned from that you need to have a licensed contractor, because they are the ones who are providing information to your insurance company. If they're not licensed, if they're not taking pictures, if they're not properly documenting the insurance claim, from what I've learned, it's going to be very, very hard for you to get money from the insurance company, especially if we're talking about water remediation claim. Then you need to make sure that your contractor has a license, specific license for water remediation, and that they do moisture metering, so-called, to make sure they can prove to insurance company that all the repairs that needed to be, they actually needed to be done, that you're not just using insurance money to improve your property. And another thing that I learned, this is on my first property when I engaged my first general contractor several years ago to renovate it. So I wasn't sophisticated at all, but I'm like, oh, you know, just find someone. And I was smart enough to request references from the person, which he provided. And then I actually called them. So in one of the references, he said, oh, I'm surprised actually Joe gave me your name because he hasn't finished the job. So, but I was in a rush and I really wanted to start. So I kind of ignored this. And looking back, I should have not ignored this because this contractor ended up stealing furniture from me. And we ended up in a huge fight. I also made the mistake of not having a contract. We didn't have a contract. He just told me the price. He did put it on a piece of paper. And I agreed to pay cash, which was very smart, of course. And I didn't pay all cash in advance, but he would come to where, you know, I was still working in my full-time job at the bank, at Credit Suisse. So he would come and I would give him cash. And I didn't have enough time to go and check on the property frequently. So I would come like once in 10 days and then I would find all the things that haven't been done that he lied about. So the lesson is, A, if you're engaging general contractor, triple check all the references. The more people can recommend them, the better. And have a contract. Now I put in a contract that, because we all know, you know, there are constant delays with all projects because they get other jobs while working on yours. I started to show up unannounced like 2-3 times a week, and they wouldn't be there, and they would call like, "Hey Joe, are you there?" So, yeah. It's like, "Oh, that's interesting because I'm on the first floor. Are you on the second floor? I don't see you on the first." So, and then you cannot check out. You know, if you're doing real estate. I know some of you have full-time jobs as I had when I just started out. Now real estate is my full-time thing. But you need to budget time to check on it. And if you cannot check on the project itself, you need to pay someone to go check for you. So the advice is be on top of things. Don't check out and have contracts in writing.
Well, it's interesting. We've heard from before that, and it sounds like you're saying this as well, that real estate, unless you're an LP investor, real estate is not passive.
No,
it is very much active. Even if you have a contractor, you have a property manager, all these folks that are helping you along the way, it is very much still an active responsibility on your part, unless you do something like an LP investment into real estate. So I do want to ask, if you don't mind, Julia, I know we've talked and had other people on and they've said some similar things about contractors. Where have you found or do you find the best places to actually find the contractors? I know you talked about finding the references and actually following up on them, but where do you typically find some of the better contractors that you've worked with now?
Well, there's several resources. One, I always do the inspection of my property and I ask the inspector, do you know any good contractors? And they usually do have a few suggestions. And then anywhere I go, Lowe's, Home Depot, stores like this, you can talk to their pro desk and they, if you're nice to them, chances are they're gonna give you a few business cards. And of course, the more you do in your area of business, real estate wise, the more people you know. So you're gonna start running into investors who invest in the same kind of properties. So ask them who they recommend. That's what I do now. I have people who are doing the same thing as I do, and I'm asking them constantly, who did you use? Did you like them? Did you not like them? And if I found a nice electrician, for example, I'm going to ask that electrician, do you know a decent plumber? And if I find a decent plumber, I'm going to ask them, do you know anyone who can do flooring? So just keep asking. And after a few years, you collect a Rolodex of those people and check references.
Yeah. And I would imagine once you have that kind of Rolodex, you just kind of keep going back to the same people that you've worked with and trust and built that relationship over time.
That's ideal.
Yeah. Yes. If you can, right?
If you can, yeah.
Well, y'all, I think that's as good enough place as ever. I think we've had some great lessons learned from David and kind of the multifamily side and doing some due diligence and really understanding that. And Julie on the single family side and making sure you understand and call your contractor's references and validating you got a good one. For those that maybe are listening to the show and want to follow up with you guys, maybe work with you guys, partner with you guys, where's the best place that our audience can find y'all?
So we do have a website, which is www.sunrisecapitalgroup.com. And we have our emails. Mine is julia@suncapus.com. And David's is VD, which is Victory Day.
Yes.
David likes to say, @suncapus.com.
Perfect. And we'll put those links in the show notes for everyone to quickly access them. Julia, David, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on board. I know y'all are incredibly busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. I really, really and humbly appreciate you guys coming on board and sharing your experience with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us. Thank you. Appreciate it. Absolutely.
And thank you all for being great listeners, and we'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.